This is Risky Business News, a podcast with daily cybersecurity news read and prepared by Cătălin Câmpanu. Today's podcast is brought to you by Things Canary, the deception and detection company. We start off today's show with some news from Costa Rica. During his first cabinet meeting, Rodrigo Chavez, Costa Rica's newly elected president, has declared a state of national emergency in light of a ransomware attack that hit government systems 3 weeks ago. The attack hit the network of several ministries, such as the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Work and Social Security, and the Ministry of Science, Innovation, Technology and Telecommunications. For many days, the attacks caused prolonged outages of government systems and web-facing platforms. The most severe damage was caused to the Ministry of Finance, which was unable to collect taxes and other payments. The attack also hit the Central American state right in the middle of its presidential transition. However, despite the incident's impact, officials refused to give in to demands made by the Conti gang, which requested a payment of $10 million to provide a decryption key for the affected systems. Instead, officials doubled down on security and passed a decree mandating that all government bodies patch computer systems, change passwords, disable unnecessary ports, monitor network infrastructure, and report any security incidents to the local CERT team. As for the Conti gang, the group has spent the past 3 weeks making multiple threats on their dark web portal, leaking data and trying to put pressure and scare Costa Rican officials into paying the ransom. Nonetheless, the Conti gang will most likely have to eat a loss because Costa Rica's newest president is just as set against paying the Conti crew as his predecessor. The incident in Costa Rica is also the latest in a recent wave of attacks that have hit Latin America, including incidents in Peru and Ecuador. Brett Callow, a threat analyst and ransomware expert at MCSoft, told Risky Business News that ransomware gangs might be shifting to this area of the world because it's a safer choice, especially after US and Western law enforcement officials have started to seize infrastructure and charge and arrest ransomware crews. Moving on to other stories, we also learned that AGCO, one of the largest manufacturers of agricultural equipment in the United States, was hit by ransomware on Friday. The company said the attack affected operations at some of its production facilities and that dealers said that tractor sales had stalled during the crucial planting season. Coincidentally or not, the attack also took place just 3 weeks after the FBI sent out an alert about ransomware gangs looking to disrupt the US agricultural sector during the spring planting season. Staying in the realm of ransomware and the US government, we also learned that officials from the US Department of Transportation said last week that they intend to fine Colonial Pipeline with almost $1 million for its IT security lapses that led to last year's major ransomware attack. The incident had a catastrophic outcome last year, leading to gas and fuel outages on the US East Coast for days in May 2021. However, despite the fine, many industry experts consider the sum to be too small for such a large corporation and the damage the incident caused. Also in the same realm of ransomware and the US government, the US State Department offered on Friday a reward of up to $10 million for information on leaders of the Conti ransomware gang and an additional $5 million for information that can lead to the arrest of Conti affiliates. The bounty is similar to the ones the State Department have previously placed on members of the DarkSide and Revel groups. Also on Friday, the US Treasury sanctioned the company that operates Blender.io, the first ever sanction the Treasury imposed on a cryptocurrency mixing service. According to US officials, the service was used by North Korean hackers to launder some of the funds they stole during the hack of the Ronin network at the end of March. Blender.io went down soon after the sanctions were announced. Sanctions were also announced by the UK government, but this time against Russia's main chip makers, namely Baikal Electronics and the Moscow Center of Spark Technologies. The sanctions mean the two companies can't license chip designs from ARM, a UK-based company. Both Baikal and MCST heavily rely on ARM chipset designs. In light of the sanctions, Russian newspaper Kommersant reported that the two companies only have two options at their disposal, either to find a factory willing to break sanctions or redesign their chips on other architectures, a process that will take at least 2-3 years and require up to 1 million Russian rubles to finish. But while Russia's taking a brunt of Western sanctions, China is preparing for new ones. According to a Bloomberg report, Chinese officials have ordered government agencies and state-backed corporations to replace all foreign-branded personal computers with domestic alternatives within 3 years. And because it was the weekend, we also had a hack of a cryptocurrency platform. Of course. This time it was the Mad Meerkat Finance platform, also known as Mimi Finance, which said it lost $2 million worth of cryptocurrency last week. In a postmortem report, the company said it fell victim to a DNS attack, but did not provide any additional details about what exact type of DNS attack it suffered, except to say it was planning to remove two service providers from its infrastructure. Moving on to malware and threat intelligence news, we had a couple of interesting reports published late last week. The first is from Curium, a foundation that helps host websites for independent media outlets. The organization said last week that it mitigated a DDoS attack against Bulatlat, a local Philippine news portal. Following its investigation, Curium said the DDoS attack was carried out by a botnet of hacked Facebook accounts, mostly belonging to Vietnamese users. We also had an interesting report from the team at Domain Tools, which published a write-up on Caramel, a new web-based credit card skimmer sold on underground forums by a cybercrime group calling itself Caramel Corp. According to researchers, the skimmer costs $2,000 and is sold only after a vetting process as a precaution from its creators to ensure it only goes into the hands of people who know how to use it and reduce the chances of being detected by security companies. Other malware reports published on Friday also include a report from Elastic Security team about Blister, a new malware loader that has been used since last year as an initial infection point in malware campaigns that have often ended in infections with info stealers, clip bankers, and even ransomware. There's also a report from Minerva Labs on the Blue Stealer malware and a CERT Ukraine alert on the Jester Stealer malware. And last but not least in today's podcast, a team of academics has published a report over the weekend on a new type of vulnerability in OpenPGP-based email encryption tools. Named key overwriting attacks, academics said that if an encrypted private key or its metadata is exposed in an unsafe medium, they can corrupt it in such a way that secret data might be leaked when the key is used. Researchers said that all types of email encryption keys are vulnerable, but ECDCSA, EDDSA, ECDH, DSA, and ElGamal keys are generally easier to target than RSA ones. Several email encryption libraries were found to be vulnerable, and even some online services like ProtonMail and FlowCrypt. Now we'll hear from our sponsor, Haroon Mir, founder of ThinkScannery, with a message for everyone attending the B-Sides and RSA security conferences in the coming month.
We are super happy to be here at the start of RP News, and we're super excited for the new format that'll allow for spicy takes. If we're going to head into a nuclear winter, then what can be better than cyber hot takes? In seriousness, we think it's going to be great. In Vendiness, next month, a bunch of us will descend into San Francisco for B-Sides and RSAC. If anyone's around and wants to talk detection or wants to see Canary in action, please ping us on @thinkscanary on Twitter or drop by our booth and say hi.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all the reports cited in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com.